Time is running out for the planet Earth. It's impervious to all voices.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
It's a trap!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Geek Shell Inherent Podcast. I am Daniel Pickett.
I'm Jason Lindsay.
You look a little sleepy.
I'm a little sleepy.
Why is that?
Well, because we were filming the show last night until 4 a.m.
Gosh.
Got home around 5. Woke up around 7:30. I'm here with you.
Right.
And then I have to get back out there.
You had
3.
To dodge all those meteorites.
I had to dodge the meteorites. Here. Right. Exactly. God, I was thinking, please, let this be it. Bring it.
Did you see that video?
No.
You haven't?
I've been shooting all night. I don't know what's going on.
So, well, there's meteorites.
I heard something.
Landing in Russia. I'll have to show you the video. It's terrifying.
Wow, how big?
It looks like a... Well, they shot it out of the sky, oddly enough.
No.
But yeah, I mean, the video is very dramatic.
Did they have to get oil rig guys to do it?
They did, actually, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the weird thing.
Life imitating art.
Yeah, yeah. That's the unusual thing. But yeah,
I'm happy to be here.
Well, happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day to you. Welcome back from our travels last week.
Yes.
You're alive and in one piece.
Do you have a favorite president?
Do I have a favorite president?
I asked you first.
Willard Fillmore.
Oh.
Yeah.
James K. Polk for me, number 11.
Big fan of Fillmore.
Yeah.
Who, nice. And he also opened the Fillmore Theater in San Francisco.
He did that?
Yeah, he did.
I don't believe you.
Discovered the Grateful Dead.
Wow, that's...
No, that's favorite president... If you really, honestly, it'd be JFK. He'd be my
really?
Favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But I don't really get into politics much.
Nice. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Is today President's Day?
Today is.
It's Friday.
Well, when they're listening to this is the magic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You really have not slept.
No, but you gotta warn me.
Like
what time frame.
By now, by episode 61,
like
you would realize this goes up on
Back
Monday.
Back to the Future, part 2.
Oh, my
no
gosh.
Idea what's going on, what time stream we're in.
So, yes, we both did travel last week.
We
we're
did.
Back. Did you have any troubles getting out to your destination?
No troubles, just it was a very quick trip. Like I said, by the time we got there and got settled and saw some folks and had dinner, and it was time for me to go.
Wow.
It was a nightmare Sunday morning at the airport. I will say that.
Okay.
I got there with plenty of time to spare
to
the airport in Toronto. And it was madness. By the time I got to my gate, they had just started boarding the flight.
Yeah.
So I got there with time. But it was crazy. Sunday
morning. We had quite an adventure getting to New York.
Isn't it always like that, though? Like,
not always.
It's crazy.
This one more so than most. Because
they did
cancel our flight.
Right.
And it was, well, I found that out on, I think, we were leaving Friday.
Yeah.
And found out Thursday. So I looked it up online. I drove, you know, I told Abby she was calling. She was on hold the whole time. I drove home. She was still on hold.
What?
So I got back in the car. I drove to the airport and talked to him at the counter.
And you said, you know
and
who
she
I
was
am?
Still on hold the whole time.
You're like, do you know who
and
I
they
am?
Never picked up.
And you're like, hang up the phone. That's my wife. You're probably.
They couldn't get us in till Tuesday.
Wow.
We were flying back on Wednesday. So,
That's bad.
So they actually, the closest I could get them to get me on the day that we needed was Philly. So we flew from here to Philly.
Okay.
And we were flying on Virgin, so they've got like DirecTV in the seats in front of you. So we're watching
Virgin.
This footage
of the meteorite?
Of the snowpocalypse.
Oh, in New York.
Of Winter Storm Nemo. And they're listing all the things that are closed, all the buses,
people dying,
the trains that are shut
eating
down.
Each other.
So we thought we were gonna have to spend the night in Philly.
Oof.
But
nobody wants to do that.
Amtrak was still running. And so we
got
in like 8 o'clock. We got in about 8:30. We caught a 9:30 out of Philly to New York. We got into New York about 11:30. But our listener and our friend Chris Height was actually very instrumental, helping get us from Philly. I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately.
Oh,
we thought we were
going
to have to stay the night. But
that's cool.
He said, well, you know, if you get off here and you go here, and this train will get you there. And
if
so,
only
thank
you put
you.
Out that kind of effort and energy for something that you, like, got paid for.
Right.
That you really, you know, had to be at.
Yeah.
I mean, the world wasn't going to end if you didn't make it to New York for this thing.
I wanted to see some toys.
I know you did, but that's a lot of effort just to get some pictures. I don't think I'd go, you know what? Not doing it this year. I'll report on it. But
that is the difference between you and me. I got to get that story.
What story? Which story exactly? What was the Lindbergh baby story that you got at Toy Fair this year?
There were some Big Bang Theory figures.
Right, which haven't been up on AFI yet, I've noticed, the first 3 days.
They have.
When?
They're up.
When? When did they go up?
They're up. They're both the gallery.
When did they
up?
Go up?
Let's see. I think we saw you guys on Monday.
But here's my thing.
So it would have gone up Monday.
What would it have taken for you to go, you know what? I don't think we're gonna do it. We're killing ourselves to get there. I don't think it's gonna happen this year.
I'm a toy journalist. Nothing is gonna keep me. This is my 11th year at Toy Fair.
Well, I know that the...
Out of the 110 years.
I know that dozens of people out there are very appreciative of the effort. And it's... You
dozens
made it.
Of people,
I'm
really?
Kidding. I'm kidding. You made it, and you're safe and sound, healthy, that's and you right. made it back. Now, did you have any trouble getting out?
No, that was fine. There was another storm coming that night, but we went out early in the afternoon.
F-U
so.
Storm.
That's right.
Getting out of here before. And so, I'm assuming that's what you're excited about. Right? Coming back from... Because that was a big deal. You went and...
Well, you told me I couldn't be excited
no,
about Toy Fair.
No, forget it.
Two
you
weeks
did it twice already. You can do it 3 weeks. You...
All right. Well, yeah, I am excited about Toy Fair. I had a lot of fun.
Good. There's
a lot of very cool stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What stood out? It's got to be Batman 66, right?
66 Batman, very cool. And the surprise to me was not just the Mattel line, which is really nice, but the NECA 18-inch one. And then the...
I think that could be the first time you said NECA first.
I'm trying.
You're getting there.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
And they also the Keaton 18-inch Batman was a huge surprise.
Hopefully we'll get some smaller Keaton figures, like some Movie Masters type.
Could be.
I think it'd be about time for that, don't you think?
But the NECA Adam West actually comes with three sets of hands, and one of them is Batusi hands.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, the thing that I thought was the coolest about the 66 Batman stuff was the cloth cape.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I am completely over... rubber capes. I think they might look nice, but for like posability and playability or whatever, or putting in a Batmobile or whatever, you can. I'm over them. Like, I'll take cloth capes any day.
All right.
You can make them look a little, you know, better than some of them that are out there that do exist.
Right.
But I would rather have the cloth, and I'm glad that they made that choice for the 66 Batman.
Yeah.
So that's something you'd probably get all of.
Oh yeah, I'll get all that line.
What you know,
I've
everything
been
that they
my whole
that
life
they,
for those
that they yep. produce. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. I mean, outside of that and a couple things here and there, there wasn't much that like. Maybe it's just the same old stuff, and it's just stuff that doesn't appeal to me. But I didn't find much that really, like, jumped out at me that was very exciting.
Stuff that you had to have.
Kinda like
I was also back to NECA.
NECA, doing it again.
I'm trying the Ed 209 from RoboCop. I think is super sweet.
Yeah, again, you know, nothing against RoboCop. I feel like the word RoboCop has been bandied around for 25 years in toys. We've gotten it every which way you can think of. I'm not that... If they suddenly said it was, you know, I don't know, Megaforce, maybe I'd be a little excited.
Well, that's you. I'm excited to get that figure
I know
to
you
go
are.
With my RoboCop figure.
I know you are.
So
I'm very happy for you. What else are you excited about?
Probably the coolest thing I saw is not a toy.
What is it?
There's three things that don't fall into the world of action figures that I really dug.
Okay.
One of them was from Jack's Pacific.
Okay.
And it is a, it allows you to be a DJ.
What?
With two turntables.
That's cool.
Using the music on your iPhone or Android device.
Cool.
And mix the two things. It sort of dummy proofs it.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's about $50, but it was really impressive.
Can you use your iPod though?
Yeah.
Or, okay, so yeah. iPod, iPhone,
iPad,
that's
Android
cool.
device. Yeah, and it, the demo the guy did was really cool.
So
I'll
you
have
can
a video
you
up
can
probably later this week.
Slide from one song to the next.
Yeah, and there's effects and stuff. I mean, I've never seen it quite this idiot-proof.
What's your DJ name?
I'm DJ Scratch and Sniff. Or I might be MC Escher. I can't decide. What's wrong?
DJ Scratch and Sniff?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Or maybe I'll have there'll be two of us, and one of us will be Scratch, one of us will be Sniff.
I'm not sure I want to know who's who. I don't want to find out.
All right.
I don't want to find out how people know that.
So that was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. There was another...
What's the other one that's non-action figures?
There was a company, and I'd never seen this company before either, called Tech for Kids. And it's Tech, the number four, Kids.
Catchy.
Yeah. And they have, I think it's called like Tech Force. And it's sort of the idea of like a Nerf gun. But they were like, you know, for Nerf guns and things like that, you can only load so much ammo into it.
That's
because
true.
Those things are so large.
It's always been the drawback for me.
Yeah, and you know, paintball is messy, and so they have developed this ammo that's kind of like a little rubber band. It's about this big.
Okay.
And you can load like 90 of these things in there.
Okay.
And it fires very strong. You know, it'll leave a welt. But the cool thing is there's a mount on top of it. And again, you can put your iPhone or your Android phone on top of it.
Like the Doctor Who thing.
There's a kind of like
the Doctor Who gun.
Except that
which I still haven't gotten.
That you're shooting at fake things. That
right,
it's
but
there.
They're in your atmosphere. So the phone shows this room, but there are Daleks in the room and you're zapping them.
But this allows you to sort of play a live version of Halo with your friends. So you can communicate with other people. You can go into stealth mode.
Wow.
You can track people. Yeah. It's really a cool technology.
That's
so
cool.
I was pretty impressed by that.
Nice.
And then the last thing was from McFarlane Toys.
Uh-huh.
So I think you probably saw when they did Walking Dead Season 2 Blu-ray, they had that case that was the head with the screwdriver in it.
Yes, and I saw this new one.
This new one.
That's, if you bring that in your house, people are going to think something's wrong with you. I'm telling you.
So the new one.
Oh, man.
For those of you who have seen Season 3, is the Governor's Fish Tank.
Oh, boy.
And
how big is it?
It's probably about the size of a hardback book. I mean, it's good size.
People
and you can actually put
water in it. I know.
Yeah. They can't ship it with water, but you put your own water in
that
it.
That is messed up. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
It's really cool.
I mean, incredible idea.
Yeah.
But
there's five heads. There's Michonne's pets.
They're
going to
call
top.
Like child services or something.
Yes.
If you bring that into your house.
It lights up.
Yeah, I know. And then at night, the heads go, rah, rah.
That's right. And one of the McFarlane guys that was showing it to us, he had the idea of, he doesn't know if it'll work, but, you know, maybe for a day or two, you put some sea monkeys in there that look like maggots swimming around in your water. Yeah.
I think that would even freak out the sea monkeys.
It might.
They'd be in there going, I think it's time. I want to be in a different cage.
Yeah.
Different thing.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, welcome back from Toy Fair. Thanks.
So other Toy Fair things.
Bringing
though.
All this.
There's
news.
Lots to talk There's about.
More. Okay.
The strange thing at Toy Fair to me was Man of Steel and how that was handled.
That's a movie coming out about Superman.
That is a movie coming about
Who's
Superman.
Who's doing the toys?
It turns out everyone.
I have to say something.
You just can't see them.
You know Dan Wiesemeyer, don't you?
No, I don't know that I do.
Dan is an old friend, acquaintance of mine from 100 years ago.
You're old.
In St. Paul, Minnesota, he and another guy had a store called Hot Comics and Collectibles. And right at that sort of summer of 89, you know, Last Crusade, Batman, License to Kill, remember how you never stopped with toys?
Yes.
That was kind of the summer that I kind of went, there's some Batman stuff coming out. Maybe I should buy this and this. And they were that first sort of brick-and-mortar store that embraced the stuff that came before. Like, they had Migos, and they had Turtle stuff, and they were the guys that kind of would go to Children's Palace and grab all the Migos and put them in the store kind of thing. Anyway, I've kept in touch now, you know, here and there throughout the years with Dan. He worked for Target for a long time. You probably know, I think he followed his Twitter feed.
Maybe.
He mentioned it. I talked to him on the
phone. Oh, yeah. Okay, I do know who that is. Because, yeah, he wrote to me.
So he knows of the show, and he goes, well, he said, I'd like to give you some topics. And I said, well, anything you want to talk about, you know, we'll talk about. But these are his words, not mine.
Yes.
He said, I think you should talk about just how G-dash-dash the Man of Steel toys look and the action figures, how bad they are. And I said, well, the little ones or the movie? He goes, all of them, across the board, all of them, especially Zod. And he just kind of went on a rant. Now, I've only seen, like, those initial images that came out before Toy Fair, so I haven't really seen the stuff at Toy Fair, but I promised him that I would say that on the show. So
okay,
if he's listening, there you go, Dan. The world knows what you think. So
yeah, I think he wrote to me this week on Twitter about Jurassic Park.
Did he?
Yeah, because Hasbro is doing new Jurassic Park things with new mold.
Apparently Hasbro was following his feed as well, and some of his observations about Hasbro and Mattel.
Yeah.
And his sort of take on the stuff was.
So but, here's the so crazy the thing about here's this? The crazy thing about Man of Steel. Like you said, we got to see a lot of images right before Toy Fair. They showed them in USA Today.
Yeah.
They showed them in the Hollywood Reporter. They put these things in MTV Geek had pictures.
Right.
They had them up on their own website.
Yeah.
We've seen the trailer.
Right.
We know what Superman looks like.
Yes.
He's on the poster.
Right.
Actually. We've seen Zod in the trailer
right.
in his armor. No one could show anything. The only people that were allowed to show their Man of Steel products were DC Collectibles, and it was four statues.
Hmm.
Everyone else either couldn't
maybe
even
they weren't
put
confident
them,
in
couldn't
they,
even put them out.
Maybe they weren't confident in how they looked.
Or you could not take pictures of them.
Maybe they weren't that confident. I got to tell you this. This is an interesting story because I know I keep talking about Alex, but we want to have him on the show. But like I do, we do talk like every couple of weeks. He's doing a comic book project, Pacific Rim,
mm-hmm.
which has to do with is it Dynamite
Comics yes. or something? Yeah.
I think it's through them. So he's been doing covers for Pacific Rim. Well, he gets these images to go off of these giant robots. And there are watermarks on the images, but there are so many watermarks, and they're so strong that he's having trouble seeing the detail
right, yeah.
on some of these robot heads to be able to do these covers. But then he goes, but then here we are at Toy Fair, and there's images all over the internet of these same robots that he's doing an official item for that he can't get a clear-cut image of, but the toys are out there. So he's trying to make something, but he can't. And the figures are out there for the world to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, again, Neko was able to show three of the robots, but none of the rest of their line.
Yeah, but those are the ones he's trying to make covers of.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like, well, that wasn't very well thought
out. So Lego had their toys out, their Man of Steel toys
of Steel.
Out, that you could look at but not take pictures of.
But you can look at it, but you had to forget it once you saw
That's
it.
That's right.
Just walk away.
Well, you say that, but on that same note, Jazzwares and World War Z, they had a shelf with a black curtain around it with a logo above it.
Okay.
And they literally said, you can look behind the curtain, but you cannot talk about what you saw. You can only say that there was something behind a curtain.
That's like a murder
trial. You
couldn't
describe them.
Forget what you just heard from the the witness.
So
the
Mattel,
jury needs to strike that from their minds.
Mattel also had their Movie Masters out.
Of
Man of Steel.
Okay.
None of the kids' stuff. Mezco, they wouldn't let them show anything. They literally had to sell to their buyers with a black silhouette.
This is for Man of Steel?
This is for Man of Steel.
Is there going to be some amazing revelation about Man of Steel that we weren't aware of up to this point?
Well, the question is,
apparently
what's going
on
with Zod? He's got a like a soul patch
I told you,
on,
he gets
on
here
one
and
of
he
them.
Goes, oh, crap.
And then not on...
This is so early 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm into Counting Crows.
So, Funko couldn't show their stuff.
Wow.
Mezco couldn't show their stuff.
Oh.
Jack Specific had a 31-inch Superman that no one seemed to mind.
Those are weird. Those giant...
Yeah.
There's like a Vader
there's
and
a
Power
Vader,
Ranger.
A Power Ranger, a Batman, and this Superman.
So weird. I'll tell you, like I said, very little I kind of saw online, and I went, ooh, I think I'd like to get that. Ooh, that's pretty cool. The Funko, what are they called again? Not the bobbleheads, but
the Pop Vinyl.
The Pop Vinyl, they seem to have every single license ever
yes, they
made.
Do.
They've got, they're coming out with Watchmen,
yes.
The Rocketeer,
Lebowski.
What was the other one I saw that I was like, what?
Like Back to the Future? I mean, there was
everything.
A ton of them.
Everything. That
Game
is going to be...
Thrones, Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there were more in the catalog that they didn't show.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe The Rocketeer. I was like,
oh
my God.
I was totally stoked for that. Yeah.
That stuff gets me excited. And I luckily, I'm not the guy that goes, I've got to have all that.
Yeah.
But I will get The Rocketeer. And
yeah.
I will probably get the Watchmen stuff and... You know, that's just cool to see. That, but there was something else that was really obscure. They're doing Adventure Time.
They are doing Adventure Time and Regular Show.
And Regular Show, yeah.
Yes, they've got all those.
Very cool. Look, Toy Fair was great. It was great for us. We got a lot of great feedback, a lot of great exposure. And even more exciting, we walked away with a lot of potential. A lot of folks want to play with us.
Oh, nice.
Sandbox. I can't say anything right now, but there's a couple of things that, like, if they happen, I will be a very happy boy.
Nice.
Very, very, very happy.
Well, I got... we don't have to talk about it here, because I haven't talked about you with this with you first.
What?
But I ran into Paul, the good Dr. Mego.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe, his partner, and they told me the whole saga of the Big Bang Theory figures.
Yes.
pre-Biff Bang Pow and all that. And yes. they want to come on the show and talk about it.
Oh, cool.
So they're
good guys.
Their whole early part of the story. That was pretty amazing.
Well, it's again, I was talking to Dan about this, how so much of what he's doing, because now he's illustrating a lot of stuff. He's doing a lot of, well, he has done for a long time, you know, spin-off comics and things like that. Now he's doing stuff for Lego. How much of our geek sort of backgrounds have come into play with what we end up, you know, doing.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that's sort of happening with us and these licenses and, you know, Star Trek even, whatever, it's all because of where we sort of came from and the geek stuff we were into, which led to Twilight Zone, which led to Doctor Who, which led to whatever. And then suddenly you've got whatever studio going, oh, you guys made the Doctor Who? Oh, we've got this thing we'd love for you to, you know. And it's all because of stuff that we're into.
Yeah.
And these guys are incredibly passionate about, you know, Migos and licensing and stuff.
Yeah.
And so Big Bang Theory has been floating around for a long time.
Right.
Between just a potential to actually getting the nuts and bolts sorted. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always up to the wire. I mean, this stuff, a lot of stuff that we showed at the show was, you know, officially sort of signed off on 24 hours before.
You actually had a disclaimer in the booth saying,
oh, yeah,
please don't tease us about, you know, head sizes and costumes.
It started...
Like, we just got this stuff in the mail.
Because it started years ago with just, these are prototypes only, you know, pay attention. And then it became, hey, listen, we know the heads are a little bit bigger on these retros because here's why.
Yeah.
And still, now it's the joke, like, hey, don't make fun of us. And sure enough, on some toy site that's very good to us and showed a bunch of pictures, one guy made a comment and said, are you kidding me? Are you serious with this coverage? The heads are all wrong. They look ridiculous. These are terrible. That should be your story. And I probably should have taken the high road and just ignored it, but I couldn't.
Oh, really?
So I went, dear so-and-so, let me explain what we're doing.
Nerd rage.
I couldn't help it. It was like, really? After all these years, you're still not... Did you see the sign in the photograph?
I made sure I took a picture of the sign and posted that, too.
Anyway, enough about Toy Fair for a minute.
But real quick, though, one of the other licenses of Funko that I thought was crazy, what? Children's Hospital.
Oh, yeah, but didn't you say that
No.
Before last week?
Nope.
That sounds familiar, though, and I don't think I saw it. I think you mentioned it to me before.
I didn't.
Anyway... Enough about Toy Fair. Here's something that's incredibly exciting. I am praying to the gods of geekdom that this is true.
Yes.
It just broke. Old news by the time you hear this. Latino Review, which, as you like you said...
It is a very reputable source.
I'd say 90% of the time,
they
dig up a rumor.
Yep.
It ends up being true when they follow through with it. Have announced today, officially, that Mr. Harrison Ford has signed on for Star Wars Episode 7.
To be Han Solo.
To play Bib Fortuna's nephew.
No?
Oh, that's what
it's to be Han Solo.
To be Han Solo again?
Yes.
Well, now I'm really excited.
Yeah.
That's just like dream come true.
It doesn't get much better than that.
No, and like we said on the show, I'll bet you once the Abrams thing happened, it happened a lot faster because I believe did he write regarding Henry? I know he was in it. I think he wrote the screenplay.
I think he had a hand in it, yeah.
And then, of course, Morning Glory, which he produced and Ford was in.
Yep.
I just think it's, again, goes back to that everything is like in that bucket of what else can we get that's going to make people happy? What else can we do?
Yep.
Can we get Drew Struzan to do this stuff? You know, like everybody, it's like,
yeah, bring him out of retirement to do the poster.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Come on. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
But this has been brought up many times online already, and I will say this. To Abrams, because he has his little cadre of people. I really hope he doesn't bring that monster guy with him that does the conceptual stuff for his movies.
Yeah.
That we've got to get someone else in there. I don't
care. I actually do agree with that.
I don't
forget the guy's name, but yeah, the guy that created the Cloverfield monster.
And the creatures from Star Trek.
Yeah.
And the creature from the Black Lagoon.
No, he did not do the creature.
No, the creature from
the Westmore
Super 8.
Yeah.
It's all the same creature.
They're all kind of the same.
All kind of the same.
I do agree that I hope that guy takes a back seat.
So that's what I'm excited about.
Nice.
Harrison Ford back as Han Solo. Something
that's
never,
a good one to be excited about.
Ever, ever, ever thought we'd get to see. And
totally.
I hope it's true.
Yeah.
That's just too mind-blowing. So the question then is whether this spin-off Han Solo thing is really going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be the framework on that. So Episode 7 happens, then he's the framework of the other one, so he could jump from film to film. Unless, of course, he says, you gotta kill me in Episode 7, like I wanted to be killed
right
in Jedi.
Well, then we see the young Han Solo adventures, and it's
starring
I already told you, Shia LaBeouf.
Starring?
The Beef.
River Phoenix.
Oh.
What?
Never mind. Can't do that.
You can't do that.
Well, I want to talk about some toys.
Okay.
That have nothing to do with anything. So I went to Toronto over the weekend.
Yes.
Met our good buddy Brian Hyler.
The author of Rack Toys?
The author of Rack Toys, the founder, the co-founder of the Mego Museum, the founder of Plaid Stallions.
Brick Mantooth himself?
That's right. He's the alter ego. Such a cool guy. Just a great guy already on the phone and on emails and then in person. Even better. And he took me all over Toronto and an area called Hamilton.
Okay.
To some cool comic shops and retro stores. This one store you would have loved because you walk in the door and it's just... Like, if you lit a match, the place would just go up. I mean, it's just like from here all the way around to the ceiling, everything you can imagine. From Burger King glasses to, you know, toys from SWAT, the TV series.
Oh,
you
wow.
know? I mean, just all kinds of weird stuff. What did I buy? I bought a figure of Ted Raimi from Sequest.
Okay.
That was my big purchase.
Nice.
So he took me around, and that was cool. But as soon as I got back... We were sort of talking about Toy Fair, and I forget how this sort of happened or where it sort of came from, but we were talking about Diabolik, and I think it came from, we were talking about Go Hero is doing the Doc Savage, and they did The Shadow, and they're going to do this and that.
I got to meet Steve Ford of Go Hero.
Isn't he a nice guy?
I met him in person. He just ran into him, yeah.
Super nice guy. You guys would totally...
He came up and introduced himself to me.
You guys would totally get along. Yeah,
while I was talking to Dr. Mego.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you mention my name?
No.
Nice. Good. Probably a good call.
Yeah.
So a while back, he showed a prototype of Diabolik, and the sculpt was sort of based on John Philip Law
mm-hmm.
from the film. I'm a big fan of Diabolik, the movie, the character. In the mid-90s...
Have you seen the Mystery Science Theater version of
yes.
it?
Yes. Whatever. That got to the point where, like, they were riffing on anything. Like, you can take The Godfather and riff on it like that.
Well,
it doesn't mean it's a bad
film.
That
was riff tracks, not Mystery Science
Theater. No, but you know what I mean. It doesn't mean it's a bad film. Like, it Diabolik is a great movie. It is what it is. It's cheesy, but it is what it is. It's not like it's not bad like the Crater Lake Monster or whatever. Anyway, in the mid-90s, there was an animated series done in Italy called Track of the Panther.
Yes.
And so very briefly, a company called Cacciapotaro. I don't know, some Italian.
That is not a name.
What it was called. Made some toys.
Okay.
Made action figures.
Yep.
Made a 12-inch figure, which is like flipping gold dust. I have found this once online. Couldn't nab it. It's a big... I mean, they're kind of in the vein of sort of, you know, the Batman animated kind of.
Oh, sure.
You know, not a ton of articulation, but, you know, knees, elbows kind of thing.
Yeah.
They made one sort of regular Diabolik figure, then the rest were all, like, skiing Diabolik and, you know, sledding Diabolik. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Snowboarding. Well, apparently they also made, like, an 8-inch, 8 to 10-inch, almost Mego-style figure.
Huh.
In with a cloth outfit on top.
Yes.
And a set of masks that come with this thing.
Okay.
So it's the Diabolik sculpt with the eye mask thing.
Yep.
And then you put different masks over the head. And as we're talking, he's like, I just found it on Italian eBay. Well, I got onto Italian eBay, and all of a sudden there's like 15 Diabolik toys I've never seen that I want to get. But I got this one. I managed to get it in this auction. But even better, and this is so rare that this happens, that I find... See, the thing is, I never knew this existed. There's no catalog out there of all the Diabolik toys that came out in the mid-90s,
right.
So you really have to...
There's not a Diabolik archive.
Exactly. You got to hunt for this stuff. The other thing that's just blown my mind, and I couldn't be more excited about, as I'm looking for more Diabolik stuff, there's a site called Tons of Toys. It's a guy called Alessio Pacciafottaro.
You're just making up names.
Italy. No, that's his name.
It is not.
It's Alessio Di Marco, I think. And he talks like this with his hand all the time. Great, great toy site. All kinds of weird, you know, cult stuff and older stuff. And just for kicks, I'm looking around, looking for Diabolik, and I punch in Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Now, you can count on one hand the number of official items ever made for the Flash Gordon movie. There's a diecast.
Until you came along.
Exactly. There's a diecast cap gun.
Uh-huh.
There's some puffy stickers.
Oh, I love puffy stickers.
There's a growth chart.
No. But there were trading cards, right?
There were Weetabix. the Serial in England
yes.
trading cards. So not even like a set of 66 you had to go out and buy in the store.
Yeah.
These were only in Serial that you had to get the entire set, and then you had to mail away for the album to stick them in. I happen to have both.
Right.
But incredibly rare. That's about it. I mean, really, you know, never made toys, nothing. And I'm looking around this site, and it is a boxed... Oh, sorry. Collegeville also made at least two Halloween costumes we're aware of. Flash Gordon with the, you know, mask and the thing, yep. and then a Hawkman.
Okay.
And I'm looking around, and there on this site is a Flash Gordon Prince Baron kids costume from Italy.
Okay.
Okay? So the cover box art is advanced artwork of Flash on the rocket sled and the Hawkman flying towards a ship.
Okay.
It was the advanced Mylar poster that yeah. made it out a year before the movie came out. And it's this thing, it looks nothing like Prince Baron's outfit from the movie, but it's in this box. And I'm like, what is that? And it was reasonable.
Yeah.
So I sent him an email and said, does this exist? Do you have it? Are there others? And he said there were others made.
Okay.
They're incredibly rare to find, but I got it.
What?
So I've got this Prince Baron costume from the movie, an actual movie item that I was unaware existed. But now that means there must be other characters out there.
I want you to wear it in next week.
It even says in the description, very fragile. Like, it may just, like, disintegrate if you, you know, it's probably so cheaply
made in
1980. You'll be careful. So that's very exciting to me that I come across something that I literally never knew existed. I thought I knew everything yep. about this movie. And so it should be here soon, and hopefully I'll bring it in and we'll get some pictures.
Sweet.
So that was kind of cool. Like, in the midst of all the new stuff happening at Toy Fair, I find a couple of cult items that are older that are out there.
Yes.
That need to have a home.
And that home is
and that
you.
Home is mine.
Nice.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Well, some other fun news that just came out yesterday.
Yeah?
You remember our good friend Chris Tallman?
Sure I do.
He's,
I love Tallman.
You've met him several times. Mm-hmm. He did an intro to the show.
And he's a tall man, ironically.
He is, yeah. That's yeah. He lives up to his name. Self-fulfilling prophecy,
that's right.
some might say.
That's right.
He has been cast in a new Nickelodeon show.
No way!
Called The Thundermans.
What?
Which is about a superhero family.
He's a dad or
and
something?
And he is the dad.
Hey! That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good
so,
for him.
He told me about it several weeks ago, about shooting the pilot and stuff, and just, you know, this is the thing he's been waiting his whole life for.
Sure.
He was
kidding me?
It's just like,
yeah.
you know, when they were talking about, you know, we're going to do flying, and he goes, oh, well, do you want me to fly like this
or
like this? And they were like, you've thought about this a lot. And he goes, well, I've been thinking about this my whole life.
My whole life.
I'm just waiting for this opportunity.
What's taking you guys so long
yeah.
to call me?
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
So
it's a pilot? Or it's
been picked up for 13 episodes.
Oh, fantastic.
Right now on Nickelodeon, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I agree.
It's called, the what?
The Thundermans.
The Thundermans.
Created by the same guys that made Big Time Rush, which is basically the Monkees updated with a boy band.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right. Well, on that same note, I want to talk about this. I wanted to wait until something a little more concrete was shown and was sort of out there.
Mm-hmm.
But a buddy of mine, Chris Roach, who you know.
I know him through Chris Tallman.
Oh, okay.
He's the one who introduced
me. Oh, that's funny.
He brought him to my house one time.
Chris and I worked on Wipeout a while ago, and
yep.
we've been friends ever since, and see each other now and then for lunches and coffees and manis and petties, but that's another story altogether. He did something remarkable that is out and about now, along with a writing partner,
mm-hmm.
wrote a script that got sold and is being made as we speak and is coming out very soon with Liam Neeson called Nonstop.
Nice.
And it is along the lines of, you know, the sort of Liam Neeson vein of, you know, stuff like Forgettable. What was the one he did where he lost his mind? Who are
where
you?
Where he lost his mind?
Yeah, it's like, who are you, Liam? What's it called?
I don't know.
He's a man who's married, and then he gets hurt, and then she doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Unknown.
Forgettable.
Unknown, forgettable. Unknowable. And then he did Taken.
Yes.
Taken 2 the next
right.
day.
And Taken 3, Electric
and Taken
Boogaloo.
Taken 3 to the streets.
Yes.
Taken it to the streets.
Well, it is, we know from the Mayan calendar, we know it is Neeson season.
It is Neeson season. So this is kind of in that vein. You
okay.
know, Neeson's got this whole other career now, and it takes place on an airplane where I don't know enough of the details, but more to come. I'll give you more details as they come up. But it's Liam Neeson, Julianne Moore, Slappy White.
Slappy White is not in that film.
He's the co-pilot in it.
I don't believe
you. And this other woman from Downton Abbey. who's British. But we'll probably be doing a bad American accent in the film.
British people in Downton
Abbey? There's a couple.
Huh.
Most are from Jersey.
Okay.
So that's very exciting. So I want to give a big round of applause Chris Roach.
To all of our Chris's.
And all of our Chris's. And Tallman, that's Chris's great news. I know you guys listen, and we couldn't be more proud of both of you.
That's awesome.
Now cut us in.
That's right.
And
I could be the crazy next door neighbor of the Thundermans.
I just want to get on
What's
the set.
What's all that racket in there?
I want to meet Slappy.
Slappy White?
I want to get on the
I'm
on the
sure
set.
You can get you on the set for that.
Speaking of pilots.
Yes.
I saw a bunch of movies the past couple weeks we need to get to.
Are you really going to transition from that kind of pilot into.
I am.
Really?
Have you seen Flight? Did you see it?
Nope. Oof.
Man.
Because you're not handing over the screeners. You're being greedy with them.
No. This I saw in the hotel room.
Oh.
Couldn't get to sleep. We thought, well, let's buy a movie.
Right.
Well, that was a mistake since I was flying the next morning. But it is great. It is a great movie. I don't want to say anything about it, but I could not stop thinking about it for a couple of days. And Denzel's one of these guys that's always good. He's always reliable. Always does a great job. Sometimes, you know, you see Denzel once, you've seen him, you know, I mean, like everything he kind of does, it's that same vibe. And then every now and then there's like a training day and you go, whoa. This character is so... He's really pushing the envelope with this character.
All right.
It's real hard to watch this guy sometimes. But it is a great script, and the climax almost happens... You know the gist of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That whole sequence, the whole actual flights, is incredible. And then what sort of happens afterwards is... you'll be talking about it for days, because there's a lot of... moral and ethical sort of things that come into it. But it's worth it to watch him. Bruce
Campbell.
No, he was
Willis.
He was, you know, he's been everything, but he
Box
was
Lightner.
He was Pike. He was Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Oh,
Bruce.
Yes.
McCullough.
Green something.
Greenwood. Bruce Greenwood.
Yes.
Terrific. Don Cheadle. This other woman who's British. His name I forgot. Oh, she's the wife. She's Watson's wife in the Sherlock Holmes movies. She's in it.
Okay.
And John Goodman.
John Goodman
comes blowing in for a couple of scenes and steals the scene he's in. But it's very good. It's worth seeing. But even better...
I stayed at a bed and breakfast with Denzel Washington one time.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Then you're halfway
and
there.
And his lovely
wife.
Wasn't in the same room.
Bronson Pinchot once did an interview about Denzel and said he is the single most disgusting human being he's ever had to work with in his life. Really awful. Like, he says some incredibly awful things about Denzel. And it's like, geez, do you want to work again, Bronson?
What else did you see that you liked?
Seven Psychopaths.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
I've not.
I say run.
That's like Sam Rockwell.
I say run, don't walk for this thing. It's Sam Rockwell, Colin Farrell.
Yes.
Tom Waits.
Okay.
Christopher Walken. Woody Harrelson. It's a dynamite cast, and... Christopher Walken is so great, but he's doing something so different than what you expect from Christopher Walken.
Oh, okay.
And Sam Rockwell, again, when you see him, you're like, well, I've pretty much seen everything Rockwell's done. Like, he's Sam Rockwell. He takes it even further in this thing. It's a great script. Did you ever see In Bruges?
I have not seen that yet. That's on my Netflix.
Same writer.
Yeah.
And if you have anybody out there listening, if you've seen In Bruges,
I have that on my DVR now that I think about it.
I think it's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
If you've seen it and you liked it, then I would say run out and see Seven Psychopaths.
Okay.
It was very, very funny. Politically incorrect and quite violent at times.
Oh.
But very, very funny.
Just like you.
Just like me. Very funny. Just like me.
Very
darkly. Dirtly humorous. What else you got? What's going on?
Didn't you see? You saw Wreck-It Ralph?
Oh, I saw Wreck-It Ralph. Loved it.
Yeah, that's a delightful film.
Oh, just great.
Yeah.
Just great. And I loved... My favorite thing was the mayor.
Okay.
Was it Candy Pants? What was he called?
I think it was, yeah.
And he talked like this the whole time.
Yeah.
Do you know who that was?
I do. Who?
I could not figure it out watching the movie.
And it surprised me, too. I remember in the credits.
I had to look it up like, really? I'm going to get his name wrong. Alan... Tudyk?
How do you say his name? From
Firefly.
Serenity? Yeah.
How do you say his name?
Tudyk? Something.
Yeah. He's the mayor of Candyland.
Yeah.
And he was just great.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was him.
Yeah.
And I love the cops, the donut cops,
yes,
and the devil dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were looking for him. And, but I'll tell you something. It was hard watching it because there were so many times I'm watching it and I'm picturing Steve Brule. in my mind. Because he's doing that voice, and it's just on the cusp of Steve Brule, you know? It's kind of like, okay, well, let's go over here and do this. You know, and it's like, that's almost
Steve. You dingus?
You dingus? That's almost Steve Brule.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it.
He was great in it, though.
What's his name? McGinley. What's his name? John C. Riley. Riley, you mean?
Yes, I do.
As Ralph.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he was terrific. But it was John C. Riley. I mean, he just was.
But still, just the. Yeah, but they did an excellent job just sort of matching his vocal quality and everything, just gesture and expression wise of that character. It was really well done.
I just like the little things. I liked Fix It Felix. And he was, why do I fix everything?
You know?
He was great, but I loved it. The people in the building, the way they move.
Yes. Like, bleep, 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 with a little jerky. 8-bit movement. Yeah.
I thought that was very, very funny. There were some real clever riffs on the gaming world and technology and stuff like that. I thought it was really clever.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw this or not while you were traveling, but we talked earlier about that Disney video game that's coming out.
Oh,
it's kinda
I
like
saw
Skylanders.
This. Yeah, the images.
Yeah, and there's an image of
Tron.
Of one
recognizer
of the guys
and,
piloting a recognizer.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
Speaking of, have you heard anything about Uprising making its way to DVD? They got to do that, right?
I haven't heard that yet, but I'm sure they will.
It's such a good show.
Yeah.
Because I found our buddy Eric Eckstein gave me some pre-production art. Mm. It came from this event that he went to.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it the other day, and I thought, well, they got it. It's such a good show. They got to put it out on DVD, you would think.
I would think that.
What else is happening?
The CW announced that they are renewing some of their shows.
Oh, yes.
Arrow, which is a show that I'm enjoying very much.
That's about
Green Arrow.
Cupid, right?
No.
Shooting arrows and making people fall in love.
Green Arrow.
Oh, that guy.
I'm liking that show. Supernatural, which I think has been on for 49 seasons now.
I know. It's got such a following, and I've never seen a full episode.
My wife just started watching that on the trip, on the Toy Fair
like
trip.
Season
like
season one.
On the way. Yeah.
Okay.
Downloaded it and watched that on the plane. So,
all right.
And Vampire Diaries, which I also have not seen. But
never
people,
seen it.
People like that.
People seem to love it.
Yep. And we talked about J.J. Abrams a little earlier, and speaking of video games of Wreck-It Ralph, J.J. Abrams is a fan of video games and wants to make a couple of movies based on some of the Valve
properties.
He
needs to back off. Did you hear what Shatner said?
That he's doing too much?
Shatner called him a pig.
A big pig?
He called him a big pig.
Yeah.
He's getting too greedy. He said he's crossed the line. He's gone too far this time by taking on two franchises.
Shatner would know. He did Star Trek and T.J. Hooker.
And Airplane 2.
That's right.
You know? He knows when enough is enough.
That's right.
So listen to Shatner.
Hooker's a good cop.
Don't be a pig.
He's optioned the rights to do a movie of Half-Life and Portal, which I think could be very funny.
I don't see where he gets the time, but good luck to
him. I don't know that he's going to do them, but Bad Robot is going
right.
to.
Right. Speaking of bad robots.
Yes.
And X-Men and Sentinels.
Yes.
You like that little segue?
That was very nice.
Another piece of casting news that is making the rounds. Our old pal Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
From Safe
Game
Men.
Of Thrones.
He's actually in Safe Men, too.
Yes.
He's got a small part in Safe Men.
And my favorite thing
get
is
it?
The station agent.
He's got a small part in Safe Men.
I don't get it.
Say he's it a little person.
Uh-huh.
Station agent's a great movie.
That's a fantastic movie.
That's a great... it's a great film. He was also in... Did you ever see Living in Oblivion? Steve Buscemi is a director trying to make this low-budget film.
I did see that, yeah.
One of the first things Dinklage was ever in.
Yeah.
And, boy, he just started showing up in loads of stuff. But he was in Safe Men.
He's
and,
an elf.
Oh, you know what he was in? He was great in. And speaking of Alan... whatever.
Yes.
Death at a Funeral. Have you ever seen Death at a Funeral?
You've talked about it on the show before.
Have I?
Yes.
The British one?
Yes.
The British one is fantastic. The American version, which is basically a mainly African-American cast.
Except for Peter Dinklage.
He's in both films playing the same character in basically the same scenes. It's almost the exact same script in his scenes.
Yeah.
But it's better to see the British one. It's really, really funny, and he's terrific in it.
Yes.
So he's in X-Men Days of Future Past.
That is correct.
The question is,
yes,
how is it he's playing Wolverine?
He is not.
I heard he was.
You are incorrect, and you should read other websites, because now...
Who's he playing?
He is going to be playing Bolivar Trask.
The guy that makes the watches?
No. the guy who makes the Sentinels.
He's the guy who makes the Sentinels?
Yes.
See what I did there with the robots?
Mm.
Segwayed in.
Mm.
So he's confirmed as Trask?
It came from a very reliable source. There's not been an official announcement yet.
All right. Is it Latino Review?
No, okay. It's not.
That's very exciting. Because I like him.
I do too.
You know, I think he's good.
He's a fantastic actor.
You know,
everything he's in, he's rock solid.
He's got a lot of range.
Yes.
You know, so that's cool. That's exciting.
Yep.
What else is going on?
This was kind of fun. Earlier this week, right the day I got back from Toy Fair, which was Wednesday, I appeared on the radio.
No.
I did.
Were you like the 10th caller? No, won tickets to see the Jonas Brothers?
They contacted me, WGN Radio in Chicago.
Right.
Asked me to be on the Bill Leff show and talk about
Who's Bill Leff?
Bill Leff, oddly enough, he's an actor, comedian, but a huge collector himself.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah? And what did he ask you about?
We talked for like an hour.
Really?
Literally an hour.
What'd
we talked about toys. We covered 66 Batman. We covered... stuff that I liked. He wanted to hear about, games and stuff that were there. We talked about Django Unchained and NECA. We talked about all sorts of stuff for an hour. That was super fun. So,
when is it air? Did it already air?
Yeah, it was live, actually.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Well, but is it, can people hear it? No.
There's a short clip online right now. I'm trying to see if they're going to put the whole thing up.
Okay.
About 5 minutes of us talking about 66 Batman. But I had posted about it. I put it up on AFI and Geek Shall Inherit, my own Facebook
page. Facebook, I think.
And people, could call in. And so, some of the AFI guys called in. And
any questions?
Some people were tweeting. Yeah, people were.
What were the questions?
One guy was talking about Hasbro, asking about Hasbro and if they're going to continue doing 6-inch and 4-inch alongside each other.
Right.
People were asking, should I open my toys? Someone asked that question.
The age-old, should I open my toys question.
Yes. And here's some sad news that came out this past week while Toy Fair was going on. Rhythm and Hues, the very popular special effects company, filed for Chapter 11.
Why does that name ring such a bell for me?
Well, we know some people that work there.
Do we?
Yes.
We do?
I'm not going to say who, but
who?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Come on.
Well, I don't want to say. It's their personal life.
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
What's he look like? How tall is he?
Someone you know. So, that's kind of weird because, Rhythm and Hues.
Why
is
it so familiar, though? Give me some stuff that they... So familiar, that name.
They did, like, the Garfield movie, all the special effects for that. They did... They did some Scooby-Doo. They did a ton of...
Yeah, I know. Is it someone famous that owns it?
I don't know the answer.
Cameron? Okay. So they're... Chapter 11.
Well, yeah, but it looks like there may be some buyers.
Okay.
So they may be rescued. Don't know.
Good.
But it's sort of weird because I think it was Digital Domain just had that thing where cratered out a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And their whole Florida studio shut down. And I knew people working there,
too. How
does
that happen, though? Like, aren't they... They're, like, out in the forefront. How do they not...
I sort of wondered the same thing when the Star Wars announcement came because that went ILM.
Yeah.
So it's like, does ILM now take over all the... Because Rhythm and Hues did both Hulk movies. Hulk and Incredible Hulk.
Okay, maybe that's it.
I don't know. It's a tough time for that, but they've done some really good work. I know
maybe
Garfield's not the pinnacle of what they I should name them for.
It's just
but
funny
that's
that,
just all that's coming to the top of my head.
I just wonder if this is going to be like a sign of things to come, like how much that effects world is going to start to change over the next 5-10 years because so much of it is literally can be done, for peanuts at home sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even I'm talking about like a small scale indie type stuff.
Yeah.
That before you know it, 10-12-year-olds are doing their own special effects in their own movies.
Right. But right now, for that scale of thing, you still need a lot of render power. So.
Yeah.
But, you're absolutely right. With the tools available at home now, it's becoming a lot more squirrely.
For everybody that we know at Rhythm and Hues and for the company itself, I hope things go okay and it does not fall apart.
Yes. So Walking Dead's back. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, that was the first thing we did when we got off the plane.
I know. I forgot.
All right, well, I'm not going to talk about it.
I know. I forgot to... we did the thing, the TiVo thing.
Yes.
We got Downton Abbey, but we don't have Walking Dead. Now, I'd love to see Walking Dead characters make their way into Downton Abbey, frankly, because that shows... I'm starting to kind of tip over the edge on Downton Abbey.
Well, you only have one episode left this season.
Oh, is that it?
This is the season finale.
Have you been watching it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's still great.
Yes.
But it's very much... I mean, I'm noticing even more now than before just how soap opera it is.
Oh, okay.
Meaning, you know, there are this thing that happens that's absolutely final, this finality of, like, it's your fault that if you hadn't done the thing, and for two episodes, it's like, you're the worst person. And then the second episode, the person comes in and says, by the way, remember the thing I said two episodes ago? I was wrong.
Yeah.
What I meant was, it could be that he was right. And then it's like, suddenly, all is forgiven. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do. I know exactly what you mean.
Every single thing that could be this ultimate, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Within an episode, it's like, well, wait a second. She wasn't there. He was there, and he wrote the letter. Here it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like the money thing, what's like, well, he wrote this letter. Read it. And it literally says, whatever you do, go ahead and use the money. Yeah, I don't feel bad. You know, everything he needs to hear is in that letter.
And there was the christening of the baby, too. Oh, yeah, she said that on her deathbed.
Oh, see, I missed that.
Oh, did you? No, wait. No, that was in the last episode. You would have seen that. Oh,
okay, okay.
Where they were sitting around the table.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And like, now that was heavy, though, the fact that they went as far with the daughter.
Yes.
That was, holy crap.
That really was. That was a huge surprise.
But you know, I mean, the forgiveness of the husband, it was like, you were so wrong if it weren't for you.
That yeah, it was two episodes.
And the doctor was
you're like, on the sofa.
Yeah, and the doctor was like, no, I know for sure. Yeah. And then two episodes, like, well, the truth is, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're okay. You're not a bad guy.
Oh, like, what was
that's
I'm
across
mad
the
about
board. It's happening.
I can't stay mad at you. You
really?
Come here.
You know, it's like every single character. So
yeah. It's funny because we were hoping to see Walking Dead in New York. And that Sunday was our longest day because that day starts every year with Lego's appointment at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then ends with the Mattel thing and then the Playmates thing. So that's like wall-to-wall appointments.
And then it ends, what, Tuesday? The show ends?
The show actually ends Wednesday.
It ends Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah, is the official end of it. So we got rushed back to the hotel, and we were like, let's watch Walking Dead. And our hotel did not get AMC.
What?
So I ended up watching Downton Abbey. Abby just passed out while she was editing
a
video.
So you taped Walking Dead. You have it?
I did, yeah. I had those back on the DVR.
Well, so I must be able to see the episode from this week, right?
They usually do. They rerun
like
online
70 or
times. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And so your DVR didn't grab it at all?
I just completely forgot that it was even coming back.
I totally
forgot. So I'm going to have to catch up, and then next week we'll...
If not, I'm sure it's on the iTunes. They want you to see it. So.
Hey, I've got to see it.
I think sometimes they'll actually put it like right before the new episode on Sunday.
Okay. Oh, right. So, they do that. Yeah.
Check that out.
So this Sunday.
Yep. Skyfall on DVD.
Skyfall on DVD.
Did you pick that up?
I haven't watched the extras yet, but I just love that movie.
Were there good extras on it that you could see?
Not heavy. There's only a few things, but I really enjoy it. And I just have all the Bond films. I have to get it, so I picked it up and actually watched it again.
So there was a thing. They were trying to get all the Bonds together on stage.
That's right.
For the Academy Awards.
The Oscars, yeah.
And was it Pierce Brosnan that said they caught, I guess TMZ caught up with him in Santa Monica or something. Mm. He said, well, they'll be down one because I'm not going to be there.
He did?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he's still upset about getting the boot.
Well, I tell you, that documentary, that Everything or Nothing,
yeah,
he's very, as excited as he is about almost getting it and then getting it and then not getting it and then getting it again and all these great stories, when it comes to the dismissal, it's very...
Yeah.
He does not pull any punches.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me, because I thought for sure the guy that you think of as Connery would never be there.
Right, yeah,
but
I
think he's going to show. I think he'll... Because he's been retired, and it made his career.
Oh, totally.
You know? I think he'd be there, but even sexier news than that.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
I'm sure I haven't.
Not only is Adele going to be performing Skyfall at the Oscars, what I heard... Shirley Bassey is going to perform Goldfinger.
No kidding.
At the Academy Awards.
I did not hear that.
So that is like, wow. Those two in a cat fight. I want to see that.
They should switch songs.
There's an idea.
That'd be fun.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Because
it's got that very 60s Bond feel to it.
Oh, totally. Skyfall
too.
Yeah.
But just to see Shirley Bassey up there singing Goldfinger again.
Sorry, could you do your Shirley Bassey?
No,
again?
we'll get sued. We can't.
Oh, you're right.
For that.
Yeah, we can't do one a clip any enough longer than that.
Well, now I'm gonna have to go because I've got comedy to make.
Oh, that's right. You got the TVs to do.
You've got some. You're gonna stick around because you've got some interviews that you've got.
Two more interviews from Toy Fair. That's right.
Who do we got?
We have Randy from NECA.
Oh, Randy,
always a good friend of the show.
Good guy. Thanks for listening, Randy.
And then we have Cornboy of the Four Horsemen.
Hey,
he did that. Oh, and he asked me to give you a message too.
What's that?
Hold on just a second.
What are you doing? Oh,
he asked me to give you a kiss.
Was that really from Eric?
Honestly, it was.
That wasn't just you pretending that no. Eric. That was just an excuse to finally come across.
He will comment on this episode and back me up on this.
Really?
We were and he yelled it down a hallway.
What did he say?
He said, "Make sure you give Lindsay a kiss." And he said, "I'm not kidding. Give him a kiss." We were leaving the Mattel showroom. He had to go back and pack stuff up, and he turned around and in front of all these people he didn't know.
Wow.
He yelled, "Make sure you give Lindsay a kiss."
What are they saying about me in New York right now because of that comment?
Right.
Well, the word is all over town. Well, he did it, Eric, so I hope you're happy.
That's right.
Now I've got...
I've delivered that message.
I've got whatever Pickett's got.
I'm a man of my word.
And thanks for that. I didn't get you anything.
That's not me. It's him.
No, I'm him. I didn't get you anything. I got you a new episode of Geek Shall Inherit.
That's good. He likes that. He'll listen to that.
I'm very excited about the Power Lords.
Now that he's done building that giant castle, and the Power Lords look great. Did you see those pictures?
And I already told him on his site, where's my space sled? Does this mean I'm going to get a space sled? Because I had I had Adam. I had the four-armed guy whose name I forgot. That had
well,
a big
there's
club.
Two of them, yeah. There's Grip, Knock, Nick,
Grip,
and...
Grip, that one. Grip, Grip,
there's a red one and a green one. Yeah,
the red one. Grip, Targ.
Okay.
And I had the space sled. And up till not too long ago, like 10, 15 years ago, I still had it in the box.
Ooh, nice.
Very beat up. But like I said, that Power Lord, those toys were like, they were made of the same plastic as the Revell.
Like the model kit.
Model kit. So if you dropped it, it was like, oh, shit. It's just like March of the Penguins when the egg falls out. You're like, why? Hey.
That may be our first March of the Penguins reference.
I think it is.
In 61 episodes.
So I'm very excited about these. They look fantastic, and I can't think of a better bunch of guys to bring them to life. But my question for you, Eric, and you should write a answer on the GSI site if you can, what's next?
Yeah.
If you're going after Power Lords because you guys love this growing up and you always loved it as kids, what else you got in your arsenal? Because I got to tell you, what else is in your arse?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
I got four or five in my brain that I'll bet would be really cool to see you guys do.
But the fun thing about this interview is that
Filmation Flash Gordon series.
Oh,
anyway,
I like that.
Anyway, yeah. What happened?
He talks about tracking down the rights to Power Lords, they had to go through.
Well, a Revell, and then Wayne Barlow did that. Was it Wayne Barlow? Is that the guy?
Wayne Barlow is the guy.
All the creatures and stuff.
Yep, but that's not where the story ends.
And we're going to hear it in this interview.
We will hear it in this interview.
Well, let's get to it.
All right.
I got to get out of here.
Okay.
All right.
So that's a wrap.
That's Episode
61. We'll be back with all your favorite pop culture geek news. And maybe more kisses. I don't know. We'll see.
You never know. You never know who's going to send messages. That's the power of the show.
That is true.
Enjoy the interviews.
Bye.
All right. We are here in the Mattel showroom. And I am with number one superfan, Corn Boy of the Four Horsemen. And you just sculpted a giant-ass castle.
Well, I didn't necessarily sculpt it. I helped out with it. We actually had about 16 people helping us on the Castle Grayskull, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without him because we did the whole thing in like 2.5 weeks, from initial rough sculpture to final finished painted prototype. So it was a daunting task, but luckily we pulled it off, and people seemed to be pretty happy with it, and we didn't mess too much up, I don't think. So
that's an unbelievable task. I mean, have you ever sculpted something like that large and that intricate?
No. We've done play sets before. Back when we worked for McFarlane Toys, we did the McFarlane Monsters play sets.
Right.
And for Mattel, right in the very beginning, we did a couple of Hot Wheels play sets that were just kind of like test prototypes, and they never got produced as toys, but they were a lot smaller, and then they asked us to do this. I mean, in the 2000X series, we wanted to have something to do with the Castle Grayskull then, but they did it all in-house, and when they asked us to do this, we jumped at the chance. And it was actually, you know, it was a question as to whether we were going to be doing it or not. We actually had to pitch for it. We had to, you know, give them a quote on how much it was going to cost and how quickly we could have it done. And luckily we got it. And it nearly killed us. And we haven't had any sleep in the last 3 weeks. But between this and the Toypocalypse 3, but we pulled it off with the help of a lot of friends. A lot of people helped us out and did spectacular work on it. So, you know, we're really happy with it.
It's... And I can't believe there are some people upset by it because...
Oh, they're not.
Are they? That's what Pixel Dungeon just said.
How can you see that and be upset with it?
I can't imagine.
They've just not seen it in person. That's the problem.
It has to be. I can't imagine that. But it just... I mean, do you have to, like, take into consideration how that gets manufactured and how many pieces and how that all works?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, when we sculpt something... We try to keep in mind how it's going to go in and out of the steel tools. But in some cases, we look at it and we go, you know what? That's not going to pull out of the steel tool that well. But it's going to be cool, too cool not to do it that way. So we go ahead and do it, and we let them figure out how to make it work in production. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And even after we've planned it all out and do the rough prototype, when we actually start sculpting things and fabricating things and putting them together, a lot of times there's still a lot of tweaking to do. Even now, the castle's in a very rough form. The inside isn't cored out yet.
Right.
There's a lot of still engineering work that has to be done to make the elevator work correctly, to make the trap door work correctly, to make all the doors, hinges and everything work correctly. So there's still, even now, a lot of work to be done, but that's their job. Now we're done with our part of it, thank God.
And do you have a favorite feature in it?
Well, you know what? I like the elevator, but just the jawbridge itself.
Okay.
I mean, it's a big, massive jawbridge, and a friend of ours, George Jokovic, actually sculpted the drawbridge for us, and he did an amazing job. It looks beautiful, and I just love seeing that thing open and close.
And did you get, like, all the reference from the original, like, Mark Taylor?
Well, you know what? We did it. Yes and no. There's only one drawing of the Mark Taylor full castle that we used. And then there were some minor things like the battle trainer. We kind of did a conglomeration of the original 1980s Masters of the Universe playset toy and the Mark Taylor drawing. It's kind of a conglomeration. And we did that throughout the whole castle. Some of it is based on Mark Taylor's drawing, where we thought it would be cool and applicable. And then some of it is based on the original castle, the toys.
Okay.
So
outside of Mattel, your own things, you showed off Power Lords last night.
Yes, we did.
Can you talk a little bit about your plans for that? You showed two ups.
Yes.
But they'll be 3¾-inch, roughly?
3¾, 4. I mean, okay. People now are calling it 4-inch for some reason. Well, I always considered it 3¾-inch, but I think some of the figure scales have actually bumped up slightly, and they're more considered 4-inch now than they were 3¾-inch. So we're saying 4-inch. They'll be roughly 3¾-inch figures. But they're going to be fully articulated. I don't remember the exact articulation on all of them. Not as articulated as Masters of the Universe or DC Universe Classics, but as articulated as like Gothitropolis or Seventh Kingdom stuff that we're doing. But very, very well articulated for the size. They're going to be, hopefully, tentatively right now, somewhat GLIOS compatible. Some of the joints will be able to pop apart, and there'll be GLIOS sockets where you'll be able to put. For the people who don't know what GLIOS is, you know, Google it. Yes. Matt Dowdy and his crew are doing an amazing job over there. So Google GLIOS, Google Matt Dowdy, Google O'Neill Designs, and
or just buy some Outer Spacemen.
Just buy some Outer Spacemen at StoreHorseman.com. That's right. But our plan for it right now is we're going to try to go into production on it within the next 4 to 5 weeks. We've got a couple of tweaks to do on the prototypes. We've got a couple of other different variations that we want to do to the characters. If you've seen the photos, there's like a soldier version of the Atom Power figure, which is going to be, you know, you can do army building with that if you so desire. There's also soldier versions of the Griptog figure that we showed last night.
Right.
And we're going to do a couple other variations on those characters, too. Some of them based on Wayne Barlow's original design drawings, some of them based on the original toys. And we're going to do kind of a crossover, so you can get a lot of different variations of the same characters.
Okay.
So once we get that done, probably another 4 or 5 weeks we're going to go into production on them. We're going to try to have at least some sort of figure up for sale at Comic-Con.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's pushing it a little bit, so I'm not sure that we'll be able to do it at this point. But if we do it, it'll be a very, very basic figure. If it'll be just one color or if it'll be clear, we don't know yet. We're going to try to do that. If not, it'll definitely be in the fall of 2013. Definitely before Christmas 2013.
Okay. And they're not going to have that same sort of feature, like the flip-around thing. You'll do separate figures?
No, they're going to be separate figures. The original Atom Power figure had Atom Power on the front, and then you flip it around, it was Lord Power on the back. Well, we're doing two separate figures. We're doing Atom Power and Lord Power as two different separate figures. And that's what we'll be doing with all the characters. Some of the characters have features with, like Griptog, the original toy had a face on the front and back of his head. The one that we showed last night is based more on the Wayne Barlow original drawing. It only has one face on the front. It has, like, mechanical stuff on the back, and the head is much more squarish and has a large jaw. But we are going to do a variation on Griptog, which will have a more toy-based head, okay. which will be a little bit more rounded. It'll have the second face on the back. So we're going to play around with that as far as variations and stuff goes. But we're not going to put in the major... Actually, there are some characters. There's a couple characters that have, like, flip-around features and things like that. We'll include that just because it's just naturally in there. But right. we're going to try to figure out ways to do variations on the characters to represent those different transforming powers rather than doing transforming actions.
And when you went after this license, did you go to Revell for that, or do you go to Wayne himself?
That was actually kind of tough. We did go after Revell at first, and Revell didn't have the license. So we contacted Wayne Barlow himself, and luckily he's only like an hour away from us in New Jersey, and he's one of mine and Eric's all-time, you know, idols. Some guy that we grew up loving, the Barlow's Guide to Extraterrestrials.
Sure.
Just big fans of his, and he was only an hour away, so we got in touch with him and talked to him. The most gracious man you'd ever want to meet in your life. Just fantastic. His wife Laura is fantastic, but they talked to us about it, and he was up for doing anything, but he didn't own the license, and he had no idea who did. But he said at the time, there was the guys Strongen and Mayhem was a company that created toy licenses and presented them to companies, and they were the guys who owned Power Lords at the time. They're real famous for owning the license and creating the board game Connect 4.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, they own that. And so we did a little research. A friend of ours, Israel Ramirez, did some research for us and found out that the guys who own that, Strongen and Mayhem, had actually passed away, and now their children and one of their wives own it.
Oh.
So we got in touch with them.
Okay.
They own the license to Power Lords, and it was so easy. They said, yep, let's go ahead and do this. We'll give them a little bit of percentage on any of our sales, and we're like, okay, and we'll run everything past you as far as, you know, you can take a look at it, and if you give us our approvals, and they're like, no, just do it. Just have fun with it. Just make sure you don't destroy it. And they're just the most wonderful people to work with. We're just having a blast with it.
And what did Wayne say when you call him all these years later and go, hey, Wayne, we're getting the band back together?
Well, first I called him and I kissed his butt a little bit and told him how big a fan we were of his. So then I think he was a little bit more ready to listen.
All right.
But, yeah, he was surprised and he was exhilarated by it. I mean, he's as big a fan of Power Lords as we are. And
right.
at Toypocalypse last night, we had a bunch of photos of some of his original drawings, and you could just see the love that he poured into those
stunning
designs. Unbelievable. But so we talked to him about it, and he was all gung-ho, ready to go on it. And he's been, like I said, he gave us these original design drawings of his that I think if I threw one of them on eBay right now, I could probably take about six vacations if I wanted to.
Judging by the fans in that room last night. Yeah,
and he just brought this portfolio out and dropped it on the table and said, here, go through it, whatever you need. He's been fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been great.
That's got to be a thrill.
Yeah. And when he saw Griptog and Adam Power, he said, I was never really a big fan of Adam Power, but this looks beautiful. I love it. And he loved the Griptog. I mean, we included a lot of the details from his drawings into the wrinkles and the features on Griptog. All the little tiny wrinkles in his lips are there.
Yeah.
And he was just blown away by it. He loved it. And, of course, when the cake boss delivered the cake last night, I thought Wayne was going to cry because they sculpted some of the Power Lords characters on the cake, and they looked tremendous. And I just thought he thought that was fantastic.
It was really sweet because I was standing close to him, and he kept, you know, bringing his wife and his daughter into like the shot, like, no, you guys have to be with me for this. So I thought that was sweet.
Yeah.
So the Gothropolis stuff, the Raven figure, there was a little sign next to it that said Kickstarter.
Yes, sir.
So what's the plan on that?
The plan is Kickstarter. We want to do a Kickstarter. We've said for a few years, people have been asking, when are you going to do the Raven? When are you going to do the Raven? And we want to. We're dying to. The problem is production costs have skyrocketed in Hong Kong so far that to do a 6-inch figure, just the steel molds alone, you're looking, especially for a figure as elaborate as that, you're looking at least $40,000 to $50,000, and probably up close to almost $60,000 or $70,000 just for the steel molds. That's before the production run, which production run on that figure could cost you another $30,000 or more. So, I mean, just taking that kind of money out of your pocket and risking that right now is just kind of tough.
Yeah.
So a friend of ours, George and Aileen, from Toy Break, October Toys, they're doing the OMFG figures, and they did a Kickstarter thing, and it's
been
tremendous
for them.
Fantastic for them, and they called us up. We've been talking to them about it for a while, and they really almost kind of talked us into it, because we were like, well, I don't know, you know, if we do Kickstarter, well, our fans think that's kind of like a step backwards for us, but, you know, the way we feel about it now is that fans have just kept asking, when are the Ravens coming? When are you guys going to do the Ravens? So they really want these.
Yeah.
We want to get them in their hands. We want to get them out there and get them to them. So this is the way we're going to try to do it. We're going to do a Kickstarter campaign, probably going to be starting sometime in March or April. And the 11 that we showed there last night are the basic 11 that we're definitely going to do.
Okay.
If the Kickstarter thing goes bigger, we may be doing more variants. We may be maybe putting duck feet on Minotaur the duck's feet rather than the regular bird feet. We'll just have to see how things go. I mean, we've never done anything like that before, so we'll have to see how it goes. And at this point, we haven't decided whether to include any other toy news websites or anything like that in the selling of these like we've done in the past.
Sure.
But if they're interested, I mean, we're willing to get them on board too, and we're going to start it from scratch. And another thing, I mean, that the Raven was the winner of Fantastic Exclusive for that year, where fans came in and they chose the characters, they chose the properties, they kind of helped us decide what characters we were going to do. At Comic-Con this year, we're going to relaunch Fantastic Exclusive. It's going to be bigger and better. We're going to have, we have people now that are going to be dedicated to staying on that, so I don't have to take time out of what I'm doing to do it and completely screw things up like I always do. And so we're going to be hopefully launching Fantastic Exclusive at Comic-Con and a new Four Horsemen website called Source Horsemen between now and then,
okay,
which is going to be kind of a hub for everything that we're doing right now.
Oh, cool.
And so get ready for the next Fantastic Exclusive, because if you guys, if Kickstarter goes okay and you guys like the Ravens, then the next one's going to be even bigger.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
I really
sir.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. And tell Jason, I used to hate him, but now I love him.
All right, I'm Daniel Pink with Action Figure Insider. We're here at the NECA booth with our good friend Randy Falk, and he's going to show us what's new for 2013.
There is a lot, Dan. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Up first in video games, we've got Atlas and Peabody from Portal. Fans have wanted those for a long time. Shell is shipping now, and she was an instant sellout. We'll have the robots out for summer release.
Okay.
In addition to that, we continue with Team Fortress with Valve. We have Demo Man and Pyro out now, and Heavy and Soldier are coming out start of the summer. Also looking to do more stuff from Left 4 Dead, Half-Life, and we're also starting with Dota from Valve as well. So, really going deep into the Valve library. They got a lot of great titles, and so far everything is doing really well at retail.
Okay.
Also from video games, BioShock Infinite.
Yes.
Long awaited and much delayed, but finally it's hitting the streets in about a month, about third week of March. And we have two figures out right now, Elizabeth and Boy of Silence. We have a replica of the Skyhook. And we're showing a brand new figure here today, the Automatic Patriot, which is like a robotic Terminator version of George Washington.
Yep.
Besides that, Gears of War. We got Judgment coming out March 19th. We got a brand new Baird figure from Judgment. And then we're launching a companion line in 3 3/4 scale. So you can have Gears with your Star Wars and your G.I. Joe and your Marvel and whatever else you collect in 3 3/4. We're doing all the main COG soldiers in that scale as well.
But not abandoning the 6-inch scale for it either.
That's right. It is in addition to. So we haven't given up one for the other. They will exist, coincide at the same time.
I know there were a lot of people worried about that.
Yeah, no, the larger scale will continue. The smaller scale can get us into some other retailers that didn't want the bigger figures. And it also is advantageous because we're able to do some larger enemy characters that maybe we couldn't do in the bigger scale.
Right.
And also maybe gives us the opportunity to do some vehicles and some other things that, again, we can't do in a 6.5 or 7-inch format.
Right.
Movie-wise, a lot of big movies this year for us, especially this summer. Pacific Rim, everyone's been talking about that when the trailer blew people away.
Absolutely.
And Guillermo del Toro, he knows what he's doing. So that hits this summer. We've got a whole line of Kaijus and Jaegers. Some I can show you, some I can't. But
okay.
They're really cool, and they'll be out for film release. We have Kick-Ass 2.
Yes.
One of my favorite films from a couple years ago. The second one looks just as good, maybe even better. And incredible cast, a lot of crazy heroes or anti-heroes. A lot of the foul, inappropriate humor that was in the first one.
Yep.
It's throughout the second, and it looks really, really good. So we got that as well.
Is your license only for Kick-Ass 2, or do you have rights to the first one as well?
For now, we're focusing on 2, but we may go back. We'll see how things go. There's actually quite a bit to do from this new one. There's a lot of hero characters. We have the first series here on display in the booth, and we're sculpting the second series right now.
Okay.
another big summer movie, Disney's Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
From the same creative team that did Pirates of the Caribbean and Johnny Depp in it again. We have Lone Ranger coming out, and Depp is Tonto, and we have our first line of figures here. We're doing Lone Ranger and Tonto at 7-inch and 18-inch, and then we're doing 3 3/4 scale as well, but for home video, DVD, and Blu-ray release.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be more characters in the 3 3/4 format, and we're doing horses and some other stuff that we can't do in the larger scale, and we have those on display here, too. Another big reveal for us here at Toy Fair this year, quarter scale.
And you do mean big.
It is big, yeah. They're all 18 inches and above, so by anyone's definition, that is big. We blew the lid off of Marvel at San Diego Comic-Con last summer, announcing quarter-scale Marvel, starting with Avengers, Captain America, and Iron Man. We're continuing that this year with Thor, and hopefully, God willing, we'll have Hulk for Christmas. That's one on our to-do list. But here at Toy Fair, we figured, how can we top that? And we are pleased to say we have the DC rights for quarter scale as well.
Yeah.
So like the glory days of 8-inch Mego superheroes battling each other, now you got 18-inch superheroes to battle one another. And we've got Keaton Batman from the 89 film here, and the Adam West Batman, the original, the beloved, from the 66 TV series. That's here on display as well.
Now, you guys were mentioned in the big Warner Brothers press release that you were doing something with 66 Batman, but the Keaton is a huge surprise.
The Keaton is one we were able to keep under wraps, thankfully. A lot of leaks pre-Toy Fair, but no one knew about Keaton. It's my favorite on-screen look for Batman.
Yeah,
I think it's still the best designed cowl and cape and suit. And I think he looks great in the costume, so it was the one we wanted to do. And the Nolan stuff is awesome, but there's been a lot of Bale stuff out for the last few years. So we're like, let's go back to Keaton, and that's what we're doing first in terms of doing the retro thing. We also have Man of Steel Superman for this summer. I can't show you that yet. We're pending final approvals. But if all goes well, that will be out for theatrical release, too.
And on average, how many points of articulation for the quarter-inch scale?
The quarter scale, on average, 25. Some have over 30. Iron Man has over 30. Superman has over 30. Cap is probably mid-20s. I think Keaton Batman's mid-20s. And West is, I think, around 30 as well, maybe over, because his utility belt's even articulated.
Come on.
Yeah, you gotta get that shark repellent out.
Does he really come with shark?
I don't know if I'm putting the repellent in there, but the belt really is articulated. You can open it up, and there's the little button inside and the back communicator, and he's got the batarang and a holster for that, and there's a lot of really cool stuff we packed in. There are 3 pairs of hands, including Batusi hands. So we love that show. We all grew up with it as kids. Yeah. I remember watching it with my brother and like pretending to be Batman and Robin and stuff. So it's really fun nostalgia trip for us to do it.
Which were you, Batman or Robin?
I was the older brother, so I was Batman. You better believe it. He was Robin. He had the underwear on. I had the tights.
What else you got?
Man, we got more Predator. Predator's been kicking butt for us for 2.5, almost 3 years now. We've got Arnold hitting retail next month. And we got a second series with Arnold. It's going to be series 9 with 2 more versions of Arnold and new versions of the Predator. And leading up to this summer, our 10th series is a special homage to some of the original Kenner designs from Predator. We're doing Lava Planet Predator, Nightstorm Predator, and Hive Wars Predator.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're really cool. Something as toy fans we've wanted to do, and let us do a little bit of our own design inspired by their creations, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Apart from that, Rambo hitting this spring, and Aliens. We got Hicks Hudson and the Aliens Warrior. We're showing off a diorama with some of the new Alien stuff in it here at Toy Fair. And a big announcement for Ed 209 coming this summer from RoboCop.
Yes. Now, you know people are going to ask for that diorama.
They're going to have to kill me for it. That's going back to the studio. We're going to use it for packaging and everything. The thing's a beauty.
It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So, you guys had some other press releases that came out recently. You got like Hello Kitty.
Yep.
That came out this morning.
Yeah, it's a pretty big reveal. I don't know how much I'll be involved in that, but there will be a lot of Hello Kitty stuff on the giftware side of things.
Right.
And maybe some collectible figures and maybe some resin or porcelain.
Okay. And you had another game that just came out, the that had some licenses too, the Collect and...
Oh, Collect and Connect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll loop you in with one of the guys from WizKids who can speak a little bit more in depth about that.
So, yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
It is.
That's an impressive lineup.
Yeah. Thank you. It's tough to keep track of it all.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to take a look at all that stuff now. Absolutely. And have a good rest of your toy fair, Andy.
Thanks.
All right.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys. I know Kung Fu. Show me.
Secrets of nature's deepest mystery.